Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and I am so happy you are with us today. Today, we are going to be talking about childhood illness and homeopathy. I have so many stories, as you'll be hearing throughout the show. I have four kids, and those kids seem to pick up everything and anything, and they always transferred it around to each other, and we were always at the doctor. So I do know what parents are experiencing. And I also have a lot of friends now who are having kids, and they're going to the pediatrician with these sick children, and they're not getting the answers or the medications that they really want or what they believe that is necessary. So they're leaving feeling, I don't know what to do with this kid, and hey, man, something's really up here. So that is where we are going to add homeopathy to a parent's toolkit today. Really think this will be a great show today. I have Dr. Naz with us again, Naz Vasighi. She was with us before, and she spoke with us about naturopathic medicine. And Dr. Naz is a naturopathic physician, but she is also an expert in homeopathy, which is very important when you are looking for a remedy with your child, is that you have someone who has used remedies before, who can direct you down that road of what a remedy is, what it can do for you, what it can't do for you, and what to do if it doesn't work. Because there are times when homeopathy works or doesn't work, and you need to know that's not the time you stop. It's just the time you regroup and relook at what's going on. So today we are going to be talking about childhood illness like cold, cough, flu, earache, diaper rash, irritability, temper tantrums, love that one. I don't know how many times my kids would stand in the middle of the grocery store and just lay on the floor and kick and scream. And, you know, and if you are saying that it's not your child, you're always not being truthful there because these kids have all done that at one time or another. So we'll be talking about how can you just take the edge off? How can you cut some of these symptoms and let the body heal itself? That's what's most important. It's not that when I have a fever, I stop it because it's scaring me, it's going too high. Or if I have an earache, oh, you better stop it because Lord knows the child can't tell you and he may go deaf. Or if they have a sore throat, oh my goodness, you know, he may not be able to eat, I don't know what I'm going to do. What we're really talking about is using homeopathy to help the body heal naturally and help the child still be able to function day to day and take away a little bit of these symptoms. So today, I'd like to welcome to the show Dr. Naz. Dr. Naz, welcome and thank you so much for being with us again.
Thank you so much for having me again.
You know, I love having return guests because, you know, the people really like to listen to someone that they've heard before and they said, oh, I want to know more, and now here we are. We're giving them more. We're going to talk about in-depth and homeopathy today, and I think that's really, to most people, it's a word that I don't even know what you're talking about, and their brain shuts off right there. Don't you think so?
Yeah, definitely. I've also seen the opposite being true, where sometimes homeopathy and homeopath become synonymous with naturopath, and so it's really great that we get to do this show today to talk a little bit about what it is and how it differs from some other natural modalities.
And I think it's really important, too, for parents to say, this is not something you have to be afraid of, because as we will be discussing throughout the show, is that homeopathy is not this poison or drug or drastic treatment that you're giving to a child and you're saying, oh my goodness, you know, what's going to happen, right?
Absolutely. In fact, homeopathy, I think, is probably my favorite type of natural medicine to use for children, just because it is so safe, it works very gently, and it's non-toxic. So there's little to zero most of the time side effects. And so you can see improvement in the health without having the risk of giving your child anything that is going to harm them.
And it's not like an antibiotic, you know, that you will be wiping out their immune system and then, oh, my goodness, what do I do next, right? You know, or the drug didn't work and I have to go to the next drug. I think homeopathy is so much simpler and easily if you use it right in the beginning of an illness too, don't you think? Ooh, I think we lost her. Yes, we did. We lost Dr. Naz. So 1 second, she'll be calling us right back in. So when we were talking about homeopathy has been around for decades and decades, actually centuries, because when you use homeopathy, it is also the method by which older physicians were able to help the children and the adults, and they were using this hundreds and hundreds of years ago. So Dr. Naz, are you back with us?
I am. I got cut off.
Wasn't
there.
That just interesting?
Yes.
Okay, so what we were saying was about, you know, when you give an antibiotic and it blows out their immune system, and
yes.
So if you could tell us a little, homeopathy, it's pellets and it's drops. What does that mean? What is its actual essence?
So basically, homeopathy is a holistic approach to healing. So it looks at an individual as a whole, rather than just as one individual symptom. And so what that means is it works on both the physical, mental, and emotional state of a person to help assist the body's natural tendency to heal itself. So we all have this, innate ability to heal. It's very oftentimes seen when you have a paper cut at the time. It's very painful and it stings. But over the course of the next couple days, without you putting any conscious effort or intention into it, it goes away. And so that's that part of that body's natural healing ability. And homeopathy helps to stimulate that so that it can optimize, in terms of being able to improve health and get over both acute and chronic diseases with, you know, much less effort. So, you know, it's based on the principle of like cures like. And basically what that means is that a disease can be cured by a substance that produces similar symptoms in a healthy person. So, for instance, a healthy person can drink, let's say, 4 or 5 cups of coffee, for example. And, you know, what usually happens when you drink lots of coffee? You get very jittery, you can feel shaky, your mind becomes very alert, active. You have lots of ideas and things running through your head. You're ready to take on the day, and you pretty much feel quite energized. Now, the same thing if you apply it for someone who has insomnia and presents in the same manner. For instance, it's 12, 1 o'clock in the middle of the morning, and they're laying down. They can't sleep because their mind is alert. They have ideas constantly rushing through their head. They feel energized. They might feel a little bit shaky. Using coffee as a homeopathic remedy will cure that person's insomnia. So the coffee usually and other substances are diluted down thousands and hundreds of times and applied to these sugar pellets that you've mentioned. And someone can just very easily put them in their mouth, it melts, and then they start to feel the effects very quickly.
So this is not, so the listeners could be really clear, this is not a drug in the form of what
Absolutely.
We would call from a pharmacy, and it's not going to have, like I had said the other day, I listened to a commercial on the TV, and it took exactly 1.5 minutes to read all the side effects. And it was like, why in the world would you want to even touch the thing? So this homeopathy has nothing like that. This is like a total, this is not even like it's almost like it's such a parting of the ways. It is not even in the same category, correct?
Very true, very true. You know, remedies are made from plants, minerals, and other natural substances. And so because they've diluted down so many times that there really is no chance of having any of the toxic effects that they might have in their natural state. And so like you said, it's really in a category of its own. And what makes it so great is, as I mentioned earlier, it's just very, very safe, very easy to use, especially in little ones, when you need something else to rely on in case the medications aren't working for their ailments. So it's a good, I think, you know, some people might use it as a backup plan. I personally use it with my patients as a frontline plan, just so that they don't have to rely on these kinds of medications that you would get from the physician to treat any of their conditions.
I, too, have used it as a frontline with most of my patients because I found, you know, when you're presenting with that immediate, like if you can catch them right as their fever is going up or right as their ear starts to hurt or their throat starts to hurt, you can work with it there and have much better results. And maybe say, let's work with homeopathy, you know, for a day or two and see, does it change? If it changes, that presentation of symptoms the next day may not even be there. Therefore, there is no need to be able to go, you know, to the next step, to a prescription or a therapy or whatever that might be. So, you know, by taking care of things right up front, I like to think of homeopathy as a, it's not really a preventative, but it is a, it's a divergent, you know, it kind of like takes that edge off of a potential problem.
Yes, absolutely. In many cases, if the remedy that is chosen for the child's ailment is done and administered, you know, very early on in the illness, especially for acute illnesses, you can in many times completely abort the illness so that it does not even progress, as you mentioned. I remember kind of same thing happened with me years ago, and there was the swine flu that was going around, and everyone's making, you know, quite a ruckus about how serious this flu was. And there were quite a few colleagues that I was working with at the school where I was teaching at who started to come down with it, and it was spreading, you know, like wildfire. And I remember I started to feel the symptoms of the flu kind of coming on in its very early stages, kind of nondescript, and I immediately called my homeopath, and she said, you know what, let's give you the remedy, you know, for your symptoms. I was able to take it, and the next day I felt like $1 million. And so I completely bypassed getting the flu because I was able to take it, you know, quite early on in the progression of the illness.
So let's talk about, if we're giving children these remedies, the safety factor. The safety factor is if my child, if I have these in the house and my child eats all them, what's going to happen? Or I'm just purchasing these at the health food store or one of these big chain health stores. What is the safety factor?
It's very, very safe. There is no way that a child will be able to find a homeopathic remedy vial with the pellets and actually overdose on them. That's the really great thing about having homeopathic remedies in your house, is that there's no way that the child can be harmed from taking a large, large amount. And again, that comes down to the fact that it's been diluted down thousands and thousands of times. So, you know, it's very, very safe. You can easily buy it, as you mentioned, over the counter at a lot of health food stores. And, you know, that's the reason why they're, you know, they've been regulated to, you know, purchase without a script. And so because of that safety factor, it's something that you can have in the house at any time in case you do need to rely on it.
So let's talk about a few of the children's illnesses and maybe a remedy or two. Let's start with a cold. That was about the best. So many, and I am totally guilty of this because I did it in the 80s, so no judgment here, but I always, when one kid got sick, you know, hey, I was always marching to the doctor because I knew I had three more of them at home that were going to have it. And when you pass things around with your kids, just like they did with the chicken pox, this was such a pleasant thing for me. The first child got chicken pox, so it took him a week to go through it, and at the end of the week, the next one got them. The end of that week, the next one got it. I had an entire month of chicken pox in my house. So that's how the kids, they always tend to want to take their time, you know, and spread it through. So I do know that, you know, when parents really need to work or they really need to get their kids to daycare, a cold, you know, this kid is coming home from daycare and they look like, oh, my goodness, they look like they've been through the car wash. That's when I think you always know they don't feel well. You know, the hair is straggling all over the place, their shirt's hanging off, their shoes are untied, they look kind of red, you know, and their lunch kit is still has their lunch in it. That's number one key when you know someone is sick. So what would you think about, or how do you start to even do that if you're a parent?
Well, you know, with homeopathic remedies, as I mentioned earlier, what's important is that you want to give them a remedy that's individualizing to their set of symptoms. So, for instance, you have a child that's come home, looks like they're ill, and you notice that they've got a lot of yellow-green discharge that's coming out of their nose. They seem kind of weepy. They seem a bit peevish and irritable. And they constantly want to cling on to you, Mom. They want to hang out with you. They want to be held. They want to be cuddled. And you try to get them to drink if they have a little bit of a fever, and they just don't want to drink anything. So this would look like the remedy picture for a remedy called Pulsatilla. And you usually will know that kids are in a pulsatilla state, especially if they do have that yellow-green discharge from their nose, and also their mood. They just want to be next to you. They want to be cuddled, and they tend to be quite weepy as well. So that's one picture that you can see. Another picture you might see is something that's quite the opposite. The child comes home, all of a sudden, everything's fine. They're playing outside, and then a fever hits. A high, high fever, and then their face is bright red, very, very shiny. They are all of a sudden restless and they're not feeling well. This is going to be a presentation that's going to be covered by a different remedy like belladonna. So in this case, again, the most characteristic features are that sudden intensity, the red, red face. You'll see their face is glowing, their cheeks are burning red. They'll feel very, very hot to the touch, and they'll have that high fever. So it really does depend on how the kids present and what remedies best fit for that picture.
And it also does bear saying also, we lived in the Northeast when my kids were little, and they used to go outside, and they'd come inside, and then their cheeks would be red. And then they would feel sick the next day. That redness of the cheeks might have just been from rolling around in the snow. So parents really need to know, you know, what is going on, look at the whole picture, and then make a concise decision. Don't just say, you know, because they were out in the snow all day, their cheeks were red when they came in, and, you know, it's now the next day, because that may not be the same predictor of that symptom, correct?
Absolutely, definitely. It's good to take all that into consideration. And, you know, if there's any, you know, points where you feel that, you know, I'm not really sure if I'm well-trained enough or can maybe use these at home, then you can find a homeopath or a naturopath who has studied homeopathy and take your child to them, and they'll be able to also look at the child objectively. Because I think sometimes as parents, moms tend to, you know, we're too close to the situation. We can be a bit subjective. And so it takes another pair of eyes sometimes to look at the situation and maybe be a better judge of what's going on.
I love the idea of the pulsatilla child when they're clinging to you, and it's like, oh, my gosh, here it comes. I'm going to be sick tomorrow because the kid's hanging on me. And I know every single parent has secretly said that, you know. But then now a parent might say, well, if I'm going to give that to my child, then, hey, I don't want to get what they have. Maybe I should take it too. And that's where we would need to caution them, and that's not the same thing, correct?
Absolutely. Again, when a child is sick or when you become sick, you may have different symptoms that are expressed that will be you know, different from case to case. So the child may be, you know, this pulsatilla child, but if you get the same virus or whatever it is that's going around, you may not have the yellow-green discharge. You may not be so clingy and weepy. You actually might have something that's going to look a little bit different. Maybe you have a sore throat with, you know, pain on one side more than the other. or something to that effect. So it's always important to know that one remedy may not necessarily be the best thing to give to all the children in the house or the other parents in the house for preventative measures, because, you know, the expression of that disease may be different in each one.
And also, just as antibiotics, you don't just randomly go around and give them because you don't want the other kids to get sick. It's the same thing with homeopathic remedies. You don't just randomly, if one child's taking it, go around and give it to everybody. You're just giving it when the symptoms occur. And this, I think I always try to tell people is that homeopathy is a symptom-based. You know, it's a symptom, so it's a cause and effect, you know. We're going around this circle versus saying, I'm going to give it to you to stop that right there. That's really not what homeopathy is, because we aren't stopping it. We are encouraging it just to heal in our body, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. The only time I've seen people who might present with an illness and the same remedy is given is for very, very highly infectious diseases, so things that tend to occur in like an epidemic, something that sweeps the nation. It's a very, very strong disease, and then you'll see that most people, a majority, may need the same remedy. But with little sort of things like coughs and colds and, you know, strep throats and things like that, those tend to be expressed differently in each person, and so they will need their own individual remedy.
So as you're talking about like an epidemic type, or let's say everybody, it seems like in the whole city, is sick with the same flu, giving everybody the same, as a parent you might say, but they look all the same to me, let's all take the same remedy. We're really not going to be doing harm to the child either, which is really important with homeopathy, correct? But like, would you say that?
Yes, if you do give the remedy to the child and you're not sure if it's the best remedy that's going to help them get better faster, there is no harm in that. You know, in most individuals, and I say most, it's usually 99% of individuals, if you give them a remedy and it's not the best remedy for them, nothing will happen. And so that's usually the best indicator that, you know, that wasn't the right remedy and you should find one that's the best for their case. So in that way, it's, you know, something if you want to give it a try for your child because you're not sure that it'll work, or maybe it's the only remedy you have in the house at 3 in the morning and you figure
right,
it's worth a shot, there's no harm in doing that whatsoever.
So it's not like we're giving them a drug where we think it's going to work, but it ends up making something else wrong. Like let's say we give them something for their headache and then it makes them throw up, or we give them something for their ear and now they end up with a sore throat. So these remedies, you can still be able to give it. It just may or may not be the right one, but you can give it if you have it in the house.
Correct.
If it's indicated.
If you do give it to someone, yes, if it is indicated, and if you do give it to them, then the most that will happen will either they get better or nothing will happen at all. They will not acquire any additional side effects as a result of taking that remedy, which is why it is so great of a type of medicine for kids especially and adults.
Well, let's talk about if I give you a remedy and you're my child, and let's say you have a very bad sore throat and a high fever, and I give you a remedy, and you wait and then you look at them the next day, and definitely things have changed, but it's totally not gone. Homeopathy is sometimes you can give one remedy and it will clear the case, but there's many times, too, where that may just be one time to clear those few symptoms, and the next day or the next week you may have to give another remedy to be able to totally clear it.
Yes, I have seen that quite a bit, yeah. That, you know, it's again, it usually depends on the child, and so that's really what's so individualizing about this medicine is that there are times where, again, early enough in the illness, if you have very, very clear symptoms and you say, oh, this is definitely the remedy for you, give it to them, you might be able to get them to just slowly improve and, you know, be done with it in about 24 to 48 hours. But sometimes, you know, diseases can also occur in phases, especially acute ones, where you have sort of like those beginning symptoms, like you mentioned. The child comes home and their hair is all over the place and they haven't eaten, you know, something what's called the prodrome, which is the very beginning. And then that can actually shift into the actual active phase of the illness. And then there's what's called a third phase, which is convalescence, which is basically recovering from the illness. So there may be times, depending on the illness and the child, that you will give them one remedy, and, you know, over the course of the next day or so, you notice that some symptoms start to improve or go away, but then other symptoms will pop up and become more prominent, which you might see with people who start out with a sore throat or runny nose. You give them a remedy and it clears, but then all of a sudden they start to get a horrible cough with lots of phlegm, you know, and so maybe that remedy that you chose at the beginning doesn't now best fit this picture of the cough, and so you may need to switch to a second one. So it takes a little bit of finessing, I believe, you know, especially the more parents can use remedies and have more experience with it, they'll be able to pick up on these things a little bit easier.
And this is not unique. This, what we're talking about in homeopathy, about one, maybe two, or maybe even three remedies for a certain event, health crisis event, because even when you have a prescription, let's say you go to the doctor because you really feel lousy today and you really think you're getting that prescription for your cold. Well, you go through that prescription for the end of the week, and then next week, it's like you have a whole bunch more symptoms. You're worse than you ever were before. Now, you can look at that
right.
paradigm and you can say, well, that drug wasn't the right one, and then all of my symptoms got worse, and now we're into a super infection, as they call it. So now we're going to give you something even stronger to attack all the other things that are going on. But with homeopathy,
right.
that's not the case. It's not continuing on to escalate into something super. It's just actually just changing and shifting and showing you what's left that needs to be addressed.
Absolutely. That's one of the best things about this medicine, is that when you do take it, as we've mentioned before, it's not going to have any negative impact on your body by creating a whole host of other issues that are going to come up that need to be treated, you know, by some other mechanism. So, you know, while you take this first remedy to help, you know, get rid of these first few symptoms of illness that you have, and it will clear that out, then it's just basically assisting your own body's ability to clear out the infection and give it a little bit of a boost so that it can also help to shorten the progression of disease and also reduce the amount of time that you're sick, which is great, which is what all of us really need, so that we're not stuck at home for 2 weeks battling something that's been going around at the office.
So let's talk about another remedy. This is the best one, I think, is that 3 o'clock in the morning, your kids are screaming bloody murder. You go in and you feel them. They're hot. You know that they've been screaming like nobody's business, and this is generally the ones that can't really tell you what's wrong. So pretty little kids. And you're thinking, oh, it must be their ear. But you notice they're just screaming like no one's end. I know in the 80s I had the most fantastic ENT here when my kids were little, because his hours were 3 in the morning until 6 in the morning. Because he knew at 3 in the morning was when all the kids got sick. So he said, why don't I just open then? And that's what he did. At 3 in the morning, his waiting room was packed. You didn't even have to call. You just showed up. And, you know, all the kids would come, and then they'd go home, and they'd be fine for the rest of the day. But with homeopathy, you know, how can you head that off when you've got this kid really screaming like nobody's business at 3 in the morning? What remedy,
you know,
would you think of?
I would think of belladonna for 3 a.m. Could also happen at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Again, because of that sudden, intense pain that just comes out of nowhere, and it is so painful that it just drives a child to basically scream because they are in so much pain. You'll see
and even
the
if
ear
they can't,
bright red.
Right, and even if they can't tell you, right? Now, this
yes.
is something you could still give an infant who is not speaking yet. It would still be a choice.
Absolutely, because one of the nice things about homeopathy, too, is that there are a lot of sort of observable symptoms that you can use that are quite reliable to guide you into what kind of a remedy would be best. One of them is 3 o'clock. Belladonna's time is 3 o'clock in the morning or sometimes in the afternoon, right when the child's coming home from school. And then you'll see that they have such a high fever, so they're hot, hot, hot to the touch. And the ear that's affected and has the infection in it is going to be bright red. You know, we talked about that earlier, that with belladonna mm-hmm. kids, they'll have the bright red face. So with this one, we've got the bright red ear. And because of just the intensity of it, you know, they will be quite upset, lots of crying just due to the intense pain. So it's a definite one to have in the toolbox for those kinds of situations.
How would you differentiate between a potential ear, well, that type paradigm, you know, the screaming, and we think it might be their ear, but then we don't know if it's they're just teething and it's hurting at 3 a.m. How would you differentiate that, or what would you, as a parent, want to consider?
You know, a lot of times kids will, you know, if they're having any kind of pain on the ear, you might notice them holding onto the ear. You may actually see them tugging on the ear. They'll grab onto their earlobe and kind of, you know, pull it down a little bit. You know, it's hard because you may not have the tools to look inside your child's ear. But it's also a good idea to maybe, you know, take a look in their mouth, see if you see anything, feel around on their gums in case you feel some of the teeth actually starting to come out. You know, so that's kind of, those are sort of the more pathognomonic signs that you would see in a child being able to tell you. And also just if you can take a quick look at the ear and see if there's any discharge, that will be another big sign that, you know, there is some kind of an infection behind that eardrum.
And having all the kids and seeing all these kids as patients, can say firsthand with almost pretty good certainty, all earaches come with teething. Teething and earaches, you can bounce it either way. An earache will come with teething, and teething will come with an earache. It just seems to always be there. And parents are kind of thinking, they always say, well, you know, he's not at that age where he should be getting teeth. But from my dental background, it's really important to know that from the age of birth until the age of 18, every single child, every single day, has either a tooth coming or going. So to say that you're not teething, you're teething for 18 years. You know, you've got something
right.
that's coming or going. So why would you not think about that in the first place, you know?
Absolutely. That's a really good point. Well, you know, if you do have someone that you know, like a child that you feel is teething and they've got some ear infections, another really good remedy to consider specifically for teething is chamomile. So chamomile, as most of you know, is a very, very pretty flower. Sometimes people, you'll see it in the natural food store. You can see chamomile tea. And the reason why a lot of people drink chamomile tea is because it's very calming and soothing. So chamomile is one of the best homeopathic remedies, and I think probably I would say the best is what I've seen in my practice, to calm down an irritable child who's, you know, constantly peevish. They've got a lot of pain along, you know, with areas where they're teething. You might see that their cheeks are glowing. But the thing you'll also notice along with these physical symptoms is really the mental emotional case, is the extreme irritability, sometimes throwing temper tantrums, you know, on the floor, kicking and screaming. And that's when you know you've definitely got a chamomile baby.
Aren't they so much fun? I just
love when they
sit down in front of you and, you know, and they come in the office and they are kicking the wall, you know, or you'll
mm-hmm.
tell them to sit down on the chair and they'll sit on the floor and kick the chair.
Right.
It is so much fun when they don't feel well, you know.
Yes.
Goodness.
Yes.
So let's talk about mosquito bites and bee bites. I think that is so profound these days because I live in the South, and these mosquitoes, they don't ever go away. I think sometimes, you know, in the summer, they're as big as dogs, we call them. And in the winter, they're just like, we call them like these, like they do in Florida, like no-see-ems. You don't really see them. They're so small because they're baby ones. But boy, 5 minutes outside getting from the house to the car with the car door open, and you can have kids bitten up like nobody's business. So really, it's important to have something because, you know, the kids, they've been scratching like crazy, and a lot of kids go to daycare and stuff. And now with such a high incidence of staph infections coming up, it's really easy to have a bigger infection from just a simple mosquito bite anymore. So what would you choose, you know, to be able to look at that for bites?
Definitely. So one of our top remedies for bites, whether it's from mosquitoes, ants, or even bee stings, is a remedy called APIS. And so what you'll notice with this remedy is that after the child has been bitten or stung, you will see that the area where they have the bite is raised. It's going to be red, a little bit shiny, and it's going to be much, much better with cold application. So children will say that, oh, you know, it's so itchy, but if you put a cold pack or a little bit of an ice pack on it, they will feel much, much better. So this is one of the best remedies that you can give your child to help reduce swelling, take away the itching, and also just, you know, get the healing path on, you know, the right track to getting that bite and all of the things out of its system. Another one I would consider also is one called Leadum. That one is specifically more for puncture wound type bites, so ones that are, you know, quite even around, and that's usually the other top remedy I would consider along with APIS, but they work like a charm.
Is either one of those a better choice for a parent if the itching is like just, when you itch it, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger?
Then I would say APIS would be the better choice in that sense, just because it really addresses a lot of the swelling and everything addressed with that.
I would tell kids, and I remember saying this to my own kids at one point, well, you know, we just have to make a remedy out of sugar because the mosquitoes just love to come and get your sugar, because that's how the Southerners speak, you know. Kids are all made of sugar in the South, you know. So we figured if we made one out of sugar, the mosquitoes wouldn't come get us anymore. So that was their way of thinking.
It's a brilliant idea.
We had gone to a festival recently, and they had the raw sugar cane. And, you know, people get it, and they just chew it. That's just as it is, you know, but it's not processed or anything. And it's very common. So we were just laughing about that with the kids again, you know. So let's talk about sore throat. We'll talk about sore throat, and then we're going to talk about flu. We have about 15 more minutes. Sore throat is very profound when they're bringing that lunch kit home and it's like nothing's going down.
Right. So what I've seen with sore throats, probably, you know, one of the couple of top remedies that I see is one of them is called lycopodium. And so in this instance, you know you have a lycopodium sore throat because the child will swallow, whether it's drinks or their own saliva, and they will notice that the right side of their throat hurts. And if they drink warm drinks, that pain will start to feel better. Those are usually the typical signs of a lycopodium sore throat. Another one that you might want to use is something called Phytolacca. So Phytolacca sore throats are ones that usually present with lots of swelling of the lymph nodes underneath the jaw. They tend to be really large and a little bit rubbery. And when you see that, then that's definitely one that you should consider. And a third one I'll just toss into the hat. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
What about one that, which one would you look at more so? Because as you have infants, you say they're not breastfeeding because that's, you know, mothers are like, they're not breastfeeding. They're pulling away and it's coming out of their mouth and it's not going down. They think the child has a sore throat.
That's a good question. I haven't seen any children, you know, infants in terms of my practice with sore throats. I've kind of luckily dodged that bomb. So if you have seen that, then I would love to know what your choice is.
Well, let's talk about your third one first. Maybe that'll bring
my third one is one called Lachesis. And so what you'll see in this presentation is the pain will be on the left side of the throat when they swallow, and it's much better from cold drinks. And so you'll know that there's a difference between lycopodium and lachesis due to size, and then what kind of temperature drinks will help make the pain feel better.
I think, you know, with mostly the breastfeeding ones, it's you just have to take a step back and wait and see what happens. Because if your child is not breastfeeding, I say don't keep forcing it on them. Because if they aren't swallowing, you know, give it a little bit time. And then what you'll notice is that sometimes that little symptoms of belladonna start to come up. Their face starts to get red.
Mm.
They start to get overheated.
Yes.
They start to feel kind of strange. But they may have a sore throat, but if you don't know which one of the sore throat remedies to give, or you don't know if they have a sore throat, giving that belladonna first and then waiting and see what happens. You know, take a step back. Because I have spoken to parents all the time about this, and it's really, really important in choosing a remedy or knowing what's wrong with your child, is if your child is not eating, you can wait a little while. How long can your child go without eating? Believe me, they can go all day and all night without eating, and it's not going to be a critical risk. It's the next day when you're looking at it, you know. So don't over panic. Or if their fever is going up and it's 101, it's 102. Is 102.5, are they going to have a seizure? Are they going to die? Probably not, but you do need to step back and look at it and take your time. And you may give them the remedy for what you think and then see what else presents. So if someone's afraid of, like, swelling with a mosquito bite, give the Apis. If you're not sure, give the Latum, whichever you need to give, you know. Or if they're just screaming and you have no clue what the heck is wrong with them, just give the belladonna and step back and wait and see. Because kids have time, you know. There's not much that's going to happen critically in that first few hours if you sit and wait.
That's true, and they tend to also respond very well to homeopathy in general. And so that's usually what we do with our patients is, you know, we'll give a remedy for any kind of an acute illness, and then we'll send them home, and they say, all right, you know, let's see what happens over the course of the next few hours. Give me a call tomorrow. We'll assess what's happening after about 12 or so hours and then go from there.
Right, because, you know, we get so anxious and so fearful when it's children. We think, what if I did something wrong? You know, and homeopathy is so benign, and it's just not dangerous. It has no side effects. Just give it, be calm about it, and step back, you know, and then just wait. Because if something else is really seriously wrong, it's going to be there no matter what, and then you can go the next step. You know, it's not like I have to call up poison control because my kid, I gave them a remedy and it didn't work and they're still screaming, you know. It's like just to not have so much fear around giving these remedies, because these remedies are so safe. And there are tons and tons of books out there where patients, you know, and parents can find out about homeopathic remedies and be able to find out these remedies Dr. Naz and I have been speaking about. Look them up. Say, hey, you know, she said that. Oh, I remember that. And just make a little tiny chart on your refrigerator, you know, for the babysitter. Here's five remedies. If this happens, do this. If this, you know, and because then you'll be home, you know. And not be afraid of it, I think. We really, you and I are emphasizing how much not to be afraid of it and take a chance, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Just because it is so safe in general, and as I mentioned before, there are no side effects. It works very gently in the body, so it's not going to present a massive shock like some other actually prescription drugs might do because it's affecting so many other systems. But with homeopathy, the goal is always to help stimulate that natural ability to heal, to make it optimal, and to make sure that it can heal everything effectively and also in a nice, timely manner.
Let's talk about flu as our last remedy, because flu can be, I almost call it the kitchen sink, you know. It's got everything and anything that's going to go on, it's going to go on. All the way down to your toes hurting to the top of your head exploding, you know. Take your choice.
Yes.
That's going to be flu, you know. And how do toddlers or babies or little kids tell you? They're like, get out of my way, you know. And they throw up. Their ears are exploding, their nose, their head, their eyes, diarrhea. Mm-hmm. I mean, every system is on warfare. So what would you recommend, you know, that parents start to look at with the flu?
So this is, again, going to be one of those more observational, especially for the little ones who can't tell you what's going on with them. So, for instance, you might have a child who just looks like they are completely exhausted and they are laying still. You have them maybe come into the kitchen to maybe have a drink or something. They can't even sit up straight in their chair. They are practically almost lying down. Their head looks like it's too heavy for their body as it's hanging down. Their eyelids look droopy. They look like they're constantly half closed. They're completely lethargic. They just like to be lying down somewhere in a room away from everybody. This is the flu picture of a remedy called gelsemium. And what you'll notice with these kids is exactly what I described in terms of extreme lethargy. Their head is heavy. You'll see that they'll try to kind of keep their head up with their hands, but they just can't. And they just want to be left alone in the world. Versus another type of flu remedy, which is actually going to be extremely restless. So this child you might see is constantly shifting and moving in their bed. They're moaning because they have pains that cause them to want to constantly move around. But even though they keep fidgeting and moving, they don't feel any better. So in these kinds of instances, then you might want to think of a remedy called Rustox or Eupatorium, where you'll see this great restlessness because of the intense bone pains and sort of, you know, muscle pains that you'll feel with the flu. And you'll see a very, very different symptom picture between these two and gelsemium just by being able to watch them.
You know, I think as adults, I always think of Eupatorium. And when they say to me, everything hurts down to my fingernails, you know, and when it's like, okay, your fingernails are hurting, okay, so that just means like there's just, everything is just on fire, I'm just not doing good, and we also
should
touch on that too, that these remedies can also be used in adults.
Yes, yes, it's great. You know, I was just going to mention that my mom actually came down with a flu just a couple of months ago, and she was just in so much pain, and she said to me, I feel like my bones are being broken inside of my body. And I knew Eupatorium was the remedy right there because of this what's called bone-breaking pain. And that's kind of the nice thing about homeopathy is that it's really safe and indicated for children, adults, and even the elderly. I've seen it being used in animals quite effectively as well. So it can be used across the board and, you know, not only for acute illnesses like we've talked about today, but also for chronic illnesses that a lot of prescription medications just don't do a good job of helping those improve.
And also, too, you can take homeopathy with a prescription drug if you're on prescription drugs. Yes, no?
That's correct. Yes, that is absolutely correct because there is no interaction with the homeopathic medicine along with the prescription medication. And what's nice about homeopathy is that you can also use it in conjunction with other types of natural remedies as well. So herbs, nutrition, and things like that, they can all work together, and there's no interference between the remedy and the other medications that you may be taking. So that makes it even a better choice for helping diseases and stopping the progression of them.
Especially, you know, with kids with earaches and they're screaming like nobody's business. When you go to the doctor and he's looking at your kid's ears, And this kid is even screaming even more, which you didn't know he could possibly do. And then you get a prescription for an antibiotic and you go home. And what does the kid do? Scream even more. So for like the next 24 to 36 hours until that thing takes hold, that's all your child is going to do is scream. So for 2 days, you've got a screaming child. So why not consider using a homeopathic remedy? Because it, you know, you could give it to them before you go to the doctor, you can go after the doctor, you can keep doing it until it stops. So we have about 6 minutes left. If we could talk really quick about dosing, because do I give it one pellet today and, hey, it's magic, click, click, we're good to go? Or is it, how would I know if I needed to do it again or the next day or the next week, or what if this happens again, you know? Because parents get very confused, and we like to make things what I call super simple, because when you have something happen and the kid is screaming, there's nothing in your mind that's going to go off except three or four words, do this, that's it.
Right. So usually what we suggest in my practice is, you know, one of a few things. One, you know, if you have an acute illness and you want to give a remedy, then you need to make sure that you give enough of the remedy to get the momentum going so the body can continue to react to the remedy and use it to get over the acute illness. So usually what we recommend is a few pellets that are placed inside the mouth. They can be put under the tongue and melt there, or the child can just crunch down on them if they wish, whatever. Children love to eat homeopathic remedies because they are sugar pellets, so they're nice and sweet. And it's very different from, you know, taking kind of a yucky cough medicine. So they'll have no issues with taking it. And then usually watching the child over the course of a few hours, might want to have them dose, you know, 3 or 4 times a day. In sometimes some more acute situations, I've seen anything up to about every 2 or 3 hours, just to make sure that we have enough of the medicine getting into the body. And then we usually see, you know, an increase in health and a lot of decrease in the symptoms by the end of the night or in the next morning when they get up. And so you can gauge how a child's doing usually after a night's full of sleep and getting a good 24 hours or so of the medicine in there. And so to follow up on that, then you can just see how they're doing. If they're improving, you can scale back how many times you give the remedy. If you notice that they're doing well, but then they're not doing so well, maybe you need a different strength of the remedy. So usually you can buy both what's called 6C and 30C potencies at your natural health food store. So there are two different strengths that you can use in case one runs out.
So what do you say about the 6 and the 30? What would you say, so, let's say, if the child was totally screaming, would you look at a 30 or a 6?
Absolutely 30. So the higher numbers tend to be stronger potencies. Ideally, if you're able to take the child to see a naturopath or a homeopath, they'll probably give you something stronger, like a 200, which is pretty standard for acute. But, you know, considering what we're limited in what we can buy in the natural health food store, 30 is going to be your best bet to go. The other thing you can do is, if you are really truly interested in homeopathy, is you can buy what's called a kit, usually online through different vendors, and they'll send you about 30 to 50 remedies in this little kit, and you can choose a potency. So you can choose a 200C strength, and then you can have that on hand. So in the middle of the night when the child wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning with an earache, you can grab that belladonna and give it to them right then.
You know, I think these are really great tips, and we've spoken about so many different things today, because with kids, you cannot keep running to the doctor, because now that the pediatricians are giving less and less antibiotics, they're sending you away with, you know, confusion, no answers. They really don't have anything else in their toolkit. So really, by having homeopathy in a parent's toolkit, they really do have some other things that they are able to do to help children, you know, get through these acute illnesses. I mean, colds come and go, sore throats come and go. Everybody gets them, you know. It's rainy one day, it's cold the next, it's hot, it's, you know, the leaves are falling. Whatever the reason is, the symptoms are still the same. So then the symptoms is what guides you to the remedy. Okay, so if the parents have any questions, just as Dr. Naz and I have suggested, is you can contact a homeopath in your area or a naturopathic physician. They are both trained in homeopathy, and you know, you can also contact Dr. Naz. You could contact me, and I will get you directly in touch with her, or you could also contact me, and if you're in my local area. But do ask questions. It's not hard to ask questions. It's saying, you know, hey, I tried that remedy. Oh, and it didn't work. Okay, fine, it didn't work. Tell me why it didn't work. What did you see in the beginning? What did you give? And what did it look like afterwards? And I think sometimes the parents would be astounded that they would say, oh, well, she was crying last night, and I gave her that remedy, and she still cried, but, oh, I fell asleep, and she got up today. Oh, well, and then you'd ask them, and you'd say, where is she? Oh, she's back at daycare. So it didn't work, really? You know? Maybe it did. And maybe the parents don't really know what to expect. So I would say to all the listeners, and if you're a grandparent or a babysitter or if it's your kids, take the time to just look at the child and say, this is here. I gave a remedy. This is what I have now. And assess that. And that's right. Very simply what homeopathy is. So, Dr. Naz, if you have anything else you'd like to add in conclusion, we have about 2 minutes left. I know this has been a great show, and we kind of went through a lot of things quickly, but I think there were very important tips in there that you did give us for today.
Absolutely. You know, just to reiterate, you know, what's so great about homeopathic medicine is that another thing it can really do is that not only can it treat acute illnesses, but it can also treat chronic illnesses. And even better, it can help reduce the susceptibility of actually getting recurrent infections. So with children these days, we see lots of them with ear infections coming in over and over and over again. They go to their conventional doc. They get tubes in their ears, you know, and they never really get over the infections. With homeopathy, not only can we treat the acute ear infections, but we can also treat them on a chronic basis and help reduce their susceptibility of catching ear infections over and over and over again. We can do that in children and adults, and that's what makes homeopathy so profound, because it's really having quite a body-wide effect and really optimizing your health. So that's why I love it so.
Yeah, and I always like to say, too, that homeopathy is like what you and I would both say is clearing the case. In other words, it's taking care of the situation. It's changing the terrain. It's taking out all of the things that brought that symptom into being. When you go and you get an antibiotic, they're like, make sure you finish your 5 days or your 7 days or whatever, and don't come back with any pills left in your bottle, and make sure you took them at the time I said, because we want to make sure we got all those bugs. You know, that's totally different altogether.
Right.
Because when you have sometimes a lot of little kids, and they'll say, well, she has an ear infection, you know, in the beginning of September, and then we've got another one in the beginning of October, and now at the end of October, and then now in November, we're going to go get tubes in her ears. Well, and you're blaming the child for having the problem with the ear infections, when really the antibiotic was never the right choice in the first place, because it really did not, it was not what the child needed to clear the situation that was going on in the first place. So that's really kind of a hard thing for a lot of parents to accept or to understand or to be able to comprehend. So I hope the parents will listen to this show, and, you know, you can, it'll be in the archives for about 2 years, and everybody that listens, please feel free to share it on their social media. And Dr. Naz, it was really great to have you back here today. Perhaps we'll have you on for another talk in another time, and we'll talk about some remedies for adults. How about that?
That sounds fantastic. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. Have a great day. You know, with kids, it's really, really hard, and I know as a parent, to say, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? And what Dr. Naz and I said is, just take your time, don't worry, check out a few remedies, see what you think you can do, and, you know, it'll be okay. We promise it'll be okay. And again, if you'd like to contact me, this is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. My website is outoftheboxhealthcare.com. You can send me an email right there at the Contact Us page, and I'll be more than happy to get you in touch with Dr. Naz or myself to be able to help you with your children's health. So thank you so much for being with us today, and have a great day.